Hey, Los Angeles. Are you looking for unique 4th of July plans for you and your friends or family? LA's greatest rivalry returns to Rose Bowl Stadium for a July 4th edition of the El Tráfico soccer matchup as the LA Galaxy return to their original home to defend their turf against LAFC. Last year, a record crowd of over 82,000 fans were on hand to witness the Galaxy victory. That's July 4th at Rose Bowl Stadium. Guaranteed fireworks both on and off the field and a celebration for all of LA. LA Galaxy versus LAFC, the Rose Bowl edition. Tickets at lagalaxy.com/tickets.
Welcome back to Now. No opportunity wasted. I'm your host, Angelica Ross. Now, as you can see, I've got a guest here with me today. We're doing things a little bit differently today. And, you know, there's so many of us that practice Nichiren Buddhism, and there's so many gems and so many breadcrumbs that speak to us differently. So today's episode, the Buddhist breadcrumb at the end is going to be brought to you none other than by my friend, Madam CJ. Welcome. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me, Angelica.
So now we're going to set the tone for today's episode by sharing today's word, Buddhism Day by Day, Wisdom for Modern Life by Daisaku Ikeda. Madam CJ, what does this say for today? Today is Monday, May 13th. What is it telling us?
Yes, ma'am. May 13th, Monday. We should give first priority to the development of an independent spirit as a human being before considering one's role as a man, woman, child, or parent. In other words, for a person to become a man, woman, child, or parent, in the true sense of the word, one has to first of all develop his or her autonomous identity as a human being.
Ooh, okay. I want you to run that back one more time because I think that's still that's still sinking in with me. Run that back one more time.
I got you. May 13th, we should give first priority to the development of an independent spirit as a human being before considering one's role as a man, woman, child, or parent. In other words, for a person to become a man, woman, child, or parent, in the true sense of the word, one has to first of all develop his or her autonomous identity as a human being.
Ooh, that is saying a lot of things. To me, I think what that's saying is the roles that we play as mother, as, you know, or patient or friend or man, woman, you know, student, whatever it is that those things are all secondary to who you are as an individual. And I think that sounds a little confusing because I think, as an individual, I'm a woman or I'm a man or I'm a this or I'm a that. But I think that it's leaning to the fact that there is also a collective identity when it comes to being a certain gender. And in our culture, sometimes people get caught up in trying to live up to what the collective ideal is of that role. But what was that saying for you?
I feel like it's basically speaking to our own human revolution. You know, before we are man, woman, child, or parent, we are spirit. And in our practice, we believe in many in body, but one in mind. And currently, we need everybody to be many in body and one in mind.
We sure do. We absolutely. But I think, again, that's the confusing part for folks is that both and. Because what it's saying is, I need you to know who you are as an individual to do your human revolution, as you're talking about. But then collectively, we need to be... what is it? One?
Many in body.
Many in body, meaning it's a lot of us.
Yeah.
And we need to show up in numbers, collectively focused on world peace, on changing the world, and on changing ourselves.
That's right.
Oh my goodness, I love that. All right, so that was an amazing word for the day, Monday, May 13th. You can always listen. I know I only share with y'all the quote that's on Monday. That's because the podcast only comes out on Monday. But if you would like these type of quotes every day, you can easily get this book yourself. We have our SGI Buddhist store. You can get it online. I even think they might even have it on Amazon, but you can get it pretty much anywhere. It is life-changing to have this kind of reminder.
Yes.
Just a little bit of, just a little thing can change your whole attitude for the day. So today's conversation that I'm going to be having is with Nava Mal. She is starring in the Netflix series Baby Reindeer. Have you seen that yet?
No.
Girl, I have not seen it yet either because I hear that you need to brace yourself for it, but wait till you see this conversation that I had with Nava just about getting into the role as well as what it means as a trans woman of color to be seen in a role that is not your stereotypical role.
Well, hello, Nava Mal. Welcome to Now. Oh, did I just rap? Did I just do a ball?
Oh my God. Hello, Angelica Ross. What?
Oh my goodness. Yes. It is so great to meet you virtually. I feel like, but have we met in person before?
We met very briefly at a party once. Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yes,
I was like,
yeah.
And that was that the dinner party?
It was so long ago. I think
with Rain Valdez and a bunch of folks.
Maybe it wasn't that one.
It could have been a different one too.
It was Framing Agnes, is what it was.
Oh yes, Framing Agnes. Yes. Oh my goodness. You know, I'm so excited actually to really talk to you because this podcast is called No Opportunity Wasted. And really the context of our conversations are all about introducing people to other folks mm-hmm. who have been faced with very challenging situations and didn't give up mm-hmm. and made the most out of those opportunities and challenges. And it looks like you have made the most out of your life's opportunities and challenges. Congratulations on being on a hit series on Netflix with Reindeer. Talk to me about how that opportunity came up and how you specifically saw it as an opportunity and were able to take advantage of that.
I mean, it came in like an audition, just like any other. I got the sides and maybe the first episode.
Wow.
So I did a self-tape on my computer and then I waited and heard nothing.
Right, as we do, yes.
And then a few weeks later, I was asked to do a second tape, and I was on the road and had to figure that out. And then I really had to wait after that. And I kept texting my manager, like, you know, usually I really, really, after an audition, I let it leave me because that role was mine for the time that I got to do the audition for it. And then it's not mine anymore, you know?
Right.
And so I usually do that, but this one, I will say I was following up with my manager. I was like, have you heard anything about Baby Reindeer? and I think it was so much longer, like, 6 weeks or 2 months or something. And then I went and did a callback in London. So,
wow. Yeah. You know, honestly, that's how it was for me with Candy and Pose. Like I auditioned, I didn't hear anything back for a minute. And then I heard back that I did not get the role of Blanca and I was crushed. Even though I didn't feel like it was the right role for me because it was like Blanca, it was like, didn't seem like the right role, but I still got really excited, you know, for the opportunity and whatnot. And also everything in my spiritual life was kind of pointing to this actually happening, like little signs and serendipity was telling me. And so my spirituality is usually kind of on point and I can trust it. So when months went by and I was not, you know, cast, I was like, oh no, you know, and then I got a call a couple months later and found out. But for me being on Pose, it was such a great jump, a leap for me in narrative. You know, for me, the first time having something that felt kind of right was when I did Her Story, the web series, and then going to and, you know, seeing just regular love, whether it was queer, trans with women or trans with men, you know, just seeing us being seen in a regular light. And then there was Pose. And then it was like, you know, I feel like the industry doesn't really want us to have another pose. You know, they don't, but they basically have taken us and put us into other stories. How, and which is again also what we do want, but we also want our own Sex in the City and things like that as well. But it's great to see trans characters popping up in stories like Reindeer. How do you feel, Baby Reindeer? How do you feel? How have you felt about the representation and like sort of the growth from what you've seen in the past to what you're playing right now?
Well, I feel like I have to tell you this, but I saw her story. You know, I was still living in Oakland and I was working as a counselor. I wasn't thinking about the industry, and I had never thought that I could pursue acting or anything. And and so then to see that y'all did that and to see your character specifically, it was the first time that I ever felt seen or connected and represented. And so thank you for that. You created the change, you know?
Thank you.
So it's really, really deeply an honor for me to be talking to you right now.
You know, what's so great is that what I love about your story, though, as well, is that's similar to mine, is that, you know, I think we come from a community that has been often overlooked in ways in which we're so talented, but we don't even get to really bring all that to the front because we're too busy advocating for our basic rights to use a public bathroom or to have access to housing or schooling or healthcare. And so talk to me about, like, because you're similar to me where you start off in, like, grassroots organizing and working. And were you working in San Francisco,
Yeah.
Talk to me about those early days and the type of work that you've been doing in community.
I started working in community, really, it was like in middle school. There was this program, I think it was called Voices for Choices, and it was run by Mujeres Unidas Contra el SIDA, which is a organization in San Antonio that does HIV awareness and safe sex work. And there was a theater, a kind of community theater popular education program that went to schools to teach students about protecting themselves. And they were talking about consent. And it was in the 2000s in Texas, you know? And I'm in middle school, you know? I from that very early age saw the connection between, you know, creative work and community work. But I, after that, kind of went more into community-focused work. In high school, same thing. I was in like 10 clubs. I was just always doing too much.
I was the same too. I was like in like school newspaper, Corral, the drama club.
And we had, so there was like the environmentalist club, there was the Interact club. And then in college, I started working at Center for Community Partnerships and at the Queer Resource Center. And so, you know, I was doing ally trainings and I ran the ESL tutoring program and I created another program. And it just was like, I couldn't do enough. You know what I mean? I think that I felt the call. I felt the need and I felt the possibility. Like when you do that kind of work, you can feel the impact. You really are like changing your life, changing other people's lives, and it just makes it all feel possible that maybe we can overcome, you know? And so that for me was always the connection, that it's like very direct.
You know, one thing that I love about that and love about hearing that from you is that, you know, in a world that tries to get us to believe in like a scarcity mindset and that, you know, if you get something, then there's nothing left for me, or, you know, that has definitely plagued our community in ways in which we see that because of politics, passability, you know, what people see as valuable or not valuable with trans folks, you know, sometimes it's been hard for us to, I think, truly support each other, for some folks who might, you know, again, because I don't, even though I understand how negative and bad the scarcity mindset is, I can't say that I don't understand where a lot of folks come from because of the lay of the situation. But what I love is that I always say that success starts with service. Mm. And so for me, it is this thing of, you know, you are acting. I love that Viola Davis kind of pointed out recently that, you know, beauty has nothing to do with acting, you know, but, you know, sometimes some of us, we get a little bit of dip in both, you know, we get to dip in both containers. We get a little beauty and we get the skills of acting, you know, we get a little bit of everything, you know, but like, it is not something that we focus on as an actor. What we focus on is revealing the human condition in these roles, yes, and revealing and making a role human.
Yes.
And I think that that's the work,
yes,
that you were doing before, mm-hmm, is helping for our society and for the people themselves who have been tricked out of seeing their own humanity, being able to see their humanity. How do you now balance sort of the space of, because, you know, we come from grassroots organizing and doing all these things, and then when you get into Hollywood, it's kind of a different story. Mm-hmm. It's not a situation where, you know, when I first got into Hollywood, I thought that I was going to be able to fully utilize my platform in a way, but I realized that there's only so much that they want you to talk about and uplift and do in Hollywood. So how do you balance, mm-hmm, being an actress and an advocate for the community? Mm.
You know, there was a time where I felt like I had to kind of like be respectful of people who are full time doing community work and say like, I don't do that anymore. You know, I really felt like I was like, I needed to create a separation. Mm-hmm. And as time has gone by, I realized that the work is connected.
Yeah.
The work is connected. And so we can hold space for all of it. You know, I think it requires grace with ourselves and with other people. And what I try to do is uplift the work of people who are on the ground and uplift the voices of people who can speak very directly and clearly and boldly about all the issues that we're facing, and ultimately, as the Queen Viola Davis said, that acting is about revealing the human condition, and so that it really is a different role. I think that is what took me some time to give myself permission to have a different role,
yeah,
in culture change,
yeah,
and that we need it all.
You know, that was something that I agree. Yeah. You know, and I, what I love is from my community, from the girls that are on the front line, you know, so many of them, I appreciate that they gave me the green light and sort of the go ahead to say, they were like, look, girl, we know that you are now in a different space and that you kind of have to move differently. And we love you. We love seeing you on TV. We love that you're an actress, you know, and we're, you know, inspired by a lot of the things that I do. And so I did feel, I felt the blessing sort of from my community to sort of, you know, do that. But like, you know, also, you know, Candy, it's so funny how they wrote her. Well, because the thing is that they like wrote a outline, I guess, of her. And so I was able to show up on set and kind of, yeah, build her and show her up and be, even when there were no line for me on camera, I still, you know, am doing things to pull the attention. But what I realized was they gave me a space to bring a girl, one of the girls with me, to life, in the sense of that girl who always says what needs to be said, no matter what effects or the way that it rolls out.
Yes.
And, you know, and I know that that's, it's such a complicated, because we had such a complicated narrative with Candy. Some it was like, girl, sit down, go find your category or whatever. And at other times it's like, well, she's kind of right about this and she's right about that, you know? And so, you know, I think that I'm, you know, in that space where I do accept my role in leadership in ways in which I want to and should and do move differently, you know. But also I think that for me right now, because so much is on the line, I've been grateful to learn about this Buddhist concept of suffering consciously. Mm-hmm. And basically what it is that sometimes we are shaken and thrown off our game when loss or grief or, you know, different type of suffering happens, and not realizing that it's actually a part of life. It just, mm-hmm. we go from birth to death and it's going to happen a few times, mm-hmm. that you're going to
more than a few times.
More than a few times. So the more that we can get into a state of being, mm-hmm. where we are not shaken by times of turmoil, mm-hmm. Sort of the better. And so I've, you know, put myself in a position. So it's like sometimes when I talk to friends and I'm having a difficult time or what have you, I want my friends and people to know that I've made the choices I've made consciously.
Yes.
First of all.
Yes.
Yes, it's difficult. Yes, it's all the things, but I consciously made that choice. And I am suffering, but there's a different beauty when you suffer consciously. Yes. Versus when it's forced upon you and you feel like you have no control or no, you know, whatever in the situation. And so, you know, we have the saying, suffer what there is to suffer, enjoy what there is to enjoy, but never give up. Basically, we say never stop chanting Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, but also just kind of like never give up. And so for each of us, you know, I think it is this place where we have to constantly be making these decisions of understanding that life is both joy,
yes.
and suffering. And how are we going to consciously participate,
yes.
and not in these ways of being in denial and like checking out, but like, okay, I know I do. Okay. Life is suffering. So at some point I'm going to have to check in on the suffering. And I think that sometimes as well as a creative, that's one thing that me having, whether it's music, or even now as I try to create other projects and other things myself, being able to express through art in ways that we hope, you know, will sort of change.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Mm-hmm. The world around us. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about your new project, All the Words But One. Mm-hmm. How did this project come about? What is it about? It looks romantic. I don't know. That's what I'm getting from the cover. And when I think about All the Words But One, I think about, like, you know, having these emotions but not being able to say I love you or something. So talk to me about this project.
Well, first of all, I just want to say real quick thank you for sharing that concept with me of conscious suffering. It really, to me, makes me think of the power of a trans person's self-determination.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because they know that what's up ahead.
And we get to choose. Mm-hmm. And we have chosen. And so it's all in alignment. You know, there's such power in that. So thank you. So All the Words But the One is a short film, which I'm curious to see if more people will potentially be surprised by the actual tone and the plot of the film, because it does, I think, present a surface that is sexy, you know, and maybe alluring. And if anybody needs a visual description of what Angelica was referring to, the poster is me and my co-star Dominic Kim, who plays Santiago, on a dinner table, completely naked, wrapped up in each other. Meanwhile,
it's so beautiful. It's a beautiful photo.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the other two cast members, Danny Woodson, who plays Aisha, and Sean Dasani, who plays Gio, are just still having their dinner. So it's really, I think, about the interruption of the expectations that we have within relationships, the expectations in society to not make people uncomfortable, to hold back whatever your truth may be as a survivor. And ultimately, it's about how we cannot control healing. Healing is on its own journey, mm-hmm. and we actually have to meet the healing on that journey. We mm-hmm. have to get there. We have to create the space for it and then let it take us. Oof. We don't get to control it. And so in the short, the character that I play, I think, hasn't quite figured that out.
how long is the short?
It's 18 minutes.
Wow.
You know, and I think
I know it's jam-packed in the 18 minutes.
Girl, I hope that that over the course of the short, it does communicate that, you know, you have to surrender to the process. And it's going to mm-hmm. take however long it's going to take. Mm-hmm. And it's going to change, and it's going to be nonlinear, and you ultimately do get to decide when you want to get onto that journey. You just have to surrender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that, because that it really does take surrender for you to be able to go from doing, you know, again, community grassroots work to being swept up into, you know, Hollywood, into all these things, because it's, you don't know what's next. You don't know. All you know is let me show up.
Yes.
And let me show up as best as I can, yes. you know, with my best foot forward.
Yes.
So I can't wait to see this. So is this basically about to hit the film festival circuit?
It is. Yes. Yeah. The world premiere is in 2 days in Baltimore at the Maryland Film Festival. I guess if this airs after that, then it will have already premiered.
Yes, yes. And it may, you know, so, you know, it will definitely air, because Monday, we go on Mondays. So you've kicked off, and you'll be kicking off the, sort of film festival tour. I know hopefully I get to see you along that way, because I have a short called Captain Zero. It's a animated series that deals with mental health. The black superhero is actually dealing with depression and his depression demon.
Wow.
Yeah. So hopefully I will get to be able to see you on the, like, on the, what we call it?
The circuit.
The tour. Yeah. The
circuit, festival
the tour.
Circuit.
Absolutely. So what do you, now that this can has been opened, I see you. I see. Sometimes, you know, it's just like you could see people's futures, you know, and I feel like you're one of those folks that, as you've taken on to this role here and just into the space, I can see that this is just the beginning for you. What type of roles are you interested in playing? Do you want to play?
I want to do a comedy next. I just keep saying that over and over. And so that is manifestation. It's got to be yes. coming. I really was in this era where I had written my short film and sort of like started to try to get funding for it. And then I was cast as Terry and Baby Reindeer and then filmed that and then came back and went right into my short and was in post. So it was kind of like a 2-year period where I was doing both of those projects. Mm-hmm. And I'm good on that for now. You know, like I really processed so much that I needed to process. Wow. And it's like I workshopped it and I've released it. I've released it. And so now I'm wanting to explore other emotional realms, you know, and I actually have done comedy quite a bit. Like, we had a drama club in high school.
I don't think they know the girls are funny.
Yes, exactly.
I don't think they know how funny the girls really are.
Yes. Yeah. And comedy is also a skill, right? And people devote their lives to kind of hone that craft. And so I am actually very, very interested in building that skill set and enjoying what it feels like to have a good time laughing on set. And
have you done improv?
I've done.
Because I'm gonna tell you, improv is the place where you get. That's where you build that bone.
I need to.
It lets you let go of. Because basically, the whole thing about improv is yes and it's just like you can't. You gotta whatever they're giving you. You gotta kind of go along with it, and so, you know, the comedy comes along with. And improv is about your response.
Yeah.
It's just literally that you are listening to what just happened. And even if you are don't even know what to do yet, you're like, hold up, what did I just say?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yes,
and it literally is a way to get in. It's just your response.
Yes.
So the more you do like the improv stuff, the more it definitely builds that bone. So I definitely recommend some improv.
Thank you. Thank you.
Are you in Los Angeles?
I am.
You live in Los Angeles now.
Mm-hmm.
I
know you have
I was in Los Angeles in now. I'm back in my home in Georgia. You know, so when they do call me back for whatever they might call me back for, they will have to fly me out. I will have to get flued out.
Period.
Because I am going to be staying a Georgia residence. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, okay, girl. So my next thing I guess I want to ask you is for yourself, like personally, you know, like as a trans person, what are some things like, okay, you've been able to have the dream of acting and doing those things, but what are some sort of like just personal goals and dreams that you have for yourself, maybe outside of acting? Mm.
I want to be more grateful to my body. My good friend, I think probably just yesterday, it feels like it was 2 weeks ago, but I think it might've been yesterday that she told me, you know, Nava, your body has worked so hard for you and you too have been through so much. And it's one thing to take care of it and nourish it. It's another thing to be grateful to it and really have that kind of open relationship with your body and be in communication with your body so that then you're able to listen to it better in order to nourish and take care. So I really, really want to get into more practice of being in touch with my body and spirituality. Like I just know that those are the realms where I've prioritized other things. And so it's time to, I'm like, okay, I really, really want to have the space for that.
You know, saying that, I struggle with this similar thing where, I am a type of trans person who, just because of my DNA and things like that, I was able to just get away with a lot of stuff and not have to do, you know, much. And so, you know, I would just take my little Tic Tac, and you know, and that would be it. But, you know, I'm someone who grew up in the church and spirituality. And so like usually that's what's got me through this time is having this spiritual foundation. But for me, my spiritual stuff was so strongish that where I could almost, it was as if I was living more in my spirit than I was in my actual body. So I wasn't really having to deal with the conflict that I was having in my body because I wasn't really in it. I wasn't really in it for pleasure. So my body was for a man's pleasure. So it wasn't at that, you know, back then I wasn't really concerned about my own pleasure. So it was a lot of things. And, you know, even as a trans person in the movement, I have given a lot of my life to the movement and my body. I put my body on the line so many times, and I take care of myself. I eat, I shower, brush my teeth, you know. I go for walks and I do things like that as well. I have the dogs and stuff, but I'm hearing you. When I know that even for myself, I have not had a gratitude. I have not shown a gratitude, whether it's in the choices of how I feed my body, how I heal, how I rest, how I get sun, or even, you know, exercise and all those things. That, like, all of it is a communication of value and love to your and gratitude to your body. And yet, as a trans person, I think sometimes we can be in a state of sometimes conflict with our body and sometimes just like this homeostasis where it's just like, we good.
Yeah.
Everything's good, but I'm not still at the place of going to the next level.
Well, it's because, you know, for a lot of us, we were in such deep conflict with our body for so long that if we get to a place of neutrality, it's like, okay, I did it. It's like, oh, hold on. You know, that actually is level one for most people.
Yeah, right.
You know? Yeah. So I'm trying to level up.
That is the word, is leveling up. And I am also chanting and praying for that level up in your career as well, and to see more things from you. For those that don't know anything about Baby Reindeer or your character, what can you tell us?
Baby Reindeer is a story that is based on Richard Gadd's own life experience, and it tells the story of a time in his life when he was being stopped by a woman that he met by chance at a pub. And it explores the topics of sexual abuse and healing from trauma. Part of the story is also that he was dating a trans woman during this time named Terry, who is a therapist. And I was very lucky to get to play Terry.
Well, I've had my feel of disturbia, you know, but I just have to see you in this role. So I'm going to get over my stuff, and I'm going to, because I just, we don't get often, you know, these type of portrayals, and I just know you shine in this role. So I can't wait to see you.
Thank you. It is very intense. I keep telling people, you know, bring some water and maybe your journal, like take your time, take breaths. Like it is.
I will definitely not be binge watching this. I will definitely be taking my time with it. But thank you, Nava, so much for taking time out of your busy day to speak with me. I'm now one of your biggest fans. I'm going to be watching as you rise. I can't wait to see what you do next year. I feel like I'm looking at you. I'm like, she's our trans Selma Hayek. She's giving all of the things, honey. So I hope that Hollywood gives you all of the things as well and gives you your flowers.
Thank you, Angelica. I feel the same way about you. And I'll be chanting and praying for you as well. We're going to level up, girl.
Please. Please do, because, you know, listen, I'm not done here and I'm not done being creative. It's just that I'm just making a mark in the sand right now to say that I want to do it on my terms in a way that I feel like I'm being respected and valued and not tokenized.
Amen.
For all of us. You know what I mean? For all of us. All right. Thank you so much. And we will be right back, y'all.
And like Angelica said, I am Madam CJ and I am here with the Buddhist breadcrumb. One of my favorite concepts in Buddhism, in Nichiren Buddhism, is 3,000 realms in every moment. A person like myself, who is a fiery, feisty Sagittarius, who can be very reactive and who can respond very quickly, needs to remember this at all times, because we can change the actual trajectory of the moment if we realize that a moment is very powerful. There are 3,000 realms in every moment. This is a Buddhist concept, and we can slow down time when we chant Nam-myoho-renge-kyo. This means to pause before reacting or responding to something that may be happening that is negative or something that is problematic. So I do my best to embody the concept of 3,000 realms in every single moment. So this week, I want you to remember the pause. Remember, embody 3,000 realms of each moment. And remember, no opportunity is ever wasted.